Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Sempre Milan podcast. I'm your host, Ollie Fisher, joined once again by Anthony Torgrude.
What's up, guys? I'm here.
And Maddie's here, too.
So,
brilliant. Brilliant.
I've got nothing to say. I don't want
men of many words. Look, it's 10 past six in the morning for you boys, so we'll battle through this one. Don't you worry. Some great volunteering on display here. We have got we've got one game to recap and two games to preview this week, and a win to recap, thankfully, with a lot of drama that accompanied it. But before we dive into this week's episode, I want to say thank you to our founding members on Substack: Des Windsor McGlynn, Ali Tareen, Tito Mac, Moritz Pullman, Joey Gawler, Kevin MJ, Mats, Luke Villano, Raul Escobar, and Rajat. I seem to be alternating like 2-minute rambles about what we've got going on the Substack with saying just go and check it out. So I'll try strike a middle ground this time. The most recent bonus podcast that we did was a question special where we went through some of the stuff that we've been sent on social media and gave our takes on them. We've had a couple of bonus articles out, one of them taking a look at Cardinale and Zlatan Ibrahimovic's words at the Financial Times thing, sort of reading between the lines and what was what. There was another installment of the Behind Sempre Milan series, sort of like how we came to be where we're at now. And then also there was the newsletter article was about Jerry Cardinale and his trips to the Middle East and what it might mean for investment based on what we know and what we hear. So yeah, go check that out. As always, you can try a week for free, see if you like it. And there will be more exciting stuff to come this week, including another bonus podcast episode, of course. Let's dive in then, boys. Friday night.
Out of breath when you read all that. Look at the thing. I'm like, this motherfucker has been talking for 2.5 minutes and he hasn't stopped.
Maybe I'll be a good rapper or something. Like Vanilla
Ice. Madison, you got to subtract 15 seconds from him in the beginning when he said ready to record and then said, oh, wait.
And then I wasn't ready to record. Yes. Okay. Let's go for it. The only game that we got to recap this week was Lazio on a Friday night. It was only our third Friday night game of the season, which
Friday night fights.
It feels like there should have been more. Friday night's all right for fighting, as Elton John famously nearly sang. This game was carnage, basically. I guess what we need to do is start with what was a very boring sort of opening, like 70 minutes or so, maybe 60 minutes or so of the game. I have to be honest, especially when you look at it with the hindsight of the result. Yeah, we got the 3 points and stuff like this. I was hoping for a much better performance than this. We actually just didn't look at the races at all. And I think maybe if we weren't playing against 10 men for a decent portion of the game, we probably don't win this one. But we'd had a decent period of rest, you know, without having a midweek game. We've gone from Sunday to Friday. We fielded what I guess most would say is the strongest lineup that we could field at this point without, you know, presuming that Kalulu, Tomori are not 100% fit yet and therefore, you know, not in a position to start. It didn't click for me. I thought this was a really frustrating game.
Yeah, I mean, the first half we had one shot on target. A nice curling shot from Pulisic towards the end of the first half. And even that, I mean, it was straight at the keeper, but it had a good curl in between two defenders. So it looked nice. Ultimately, obviously, it didn't go in, so it didn't matter. But that was literally the only highlight of the first half. I mean, there was nothing else. Like, I can't pick a single moment in the first half. I know Sarri got a yellow card, and I only know that because I have FotMob open on the side here. So I don't remember what he got that for. I have no idea. But the first half was bad. There just wasn't a whole lot going on.
He got the yellow card because of that incident, which I suppose we better talk about, where Maignan and Florenzi got a little bit mixed up inside Milan's box. And then the ball... I mean, look, Maignan gets the ball, but he happens to take out Castellanos in the process. It's not a penalty, is it? But it's one of those where it looks so much like one because the ball's gone. Like,
part of me thinks, like, Florenzi put us in that position and it was such a bad position to be put in that, like, I almost wanted a punishment for it, you know, just to be like, look what you've done, you know. But when they show the replay in slow motion, you can see the Lazio guy jumps over Maignan. There's no actual contact. He just does a front flip over him, looks for the contact. Obviously didn't get it. And Maignan was, I mean, he clearly got the ball. He was going for the ball. And then whatever the player's name was, I can't remember who it was, but he goes in late and then jumps over Maignan. Maignan's not even, like, he's already stopped moving at that point. Mm. You know, like, there's never a penalty there. I definitely thought they were going to give it watching it live because, you know, 11 in our, or 10 in our last however many games and shit like that. I was like, yeah, this is a penalty for sure. But it wasn't. So, yeah, good call because that was the memorable moment of the first half.
Mm. I'd say for having a very unmemorable first half, you had a lot to say.
Well, when you remind me of something, then I'm like, oh, yeah, I could talk about this. But
I'll
get the ball rolling.
I'm going to be honest. I thought the Pellegrini red card was in like the 20th minute. Mm. I didn't realize it was in the 75th. Like, I was just looking, I was like, uneventful. What is this dude talking about? The team's gotten a scuffle for like 15 minutes. And I was like, what? That was in the 70th minute?
Oh, we'll get onto that.
The game was.
We'll get onto that in good time. It was simmering away, though. There was like, there were little bits like there were, I think there was a moment early on in the first half where like we were building a nice move down the left side. And it was like Teo Liao, and then the ball goes back to Adli, and we will mention Adli's performance, but he like miscontrolled it or something, and then he absolutely took out his man afterwards. And you're thinking, right, is it going to degenerate from here? And as it turns out, yes, it absolutely did. And there was a lot of niggly fouls. There wasn't much quality on show from either team, to be honest. I think they had the best chance, and it was when that cross came in and Kier like miscontrolled it out for a corner. The corner comes in, he then loses his man Vecino, who like I think he almost knees it wide of the far post by a couple of inches, and if he connects more sweetly with it, it's probably 1-0. And then it's there was nothing else really in the first half, and I guess we can instantly fast forward to the red card incident. I mean, we were a bit more on top in the first half. Sorry, a bit more on top in the start of the second half, controlling the ball a tad more. But it all changed just before the hour with this red card. So what has happened is that a Lazio player has gone down. I think was it Castellanos again? I think he was at the center of everything.
Probably, because it was definitely a dive, so it makes sense. It was the same guy.
Yeah, I mean, he goes down and he's grabbing his head. And at the couple of seconds later, the ball is out towards the right wing where Luca Pellegrini is then trying to shepherd it out for a throw-in so that I guess the player can receive treatment. And what Pioli says and what, was it Florenzi? Somebody said something after the game like Pulisic didn't know that was what he was trying to do, that there was an injured player. So he keeps playing on, as you should, as a player, play to the whistle. Rob's possession, and Pellegrini goes yoink and basically drags him back by the collar of his shirt. It was a clear second yellow. You know, you can't argue with that, and therefore a red card.
And yet they did argue with it. They were saying, like,
he argued.
Unsportsmanlike behavior or whatever from Pulisic, but the reality is the injured player was never touched in the face. You know, they show the replay. Doesn't get touched in the face, just grabs his head because he lost possession and drops down. Classic way to get the game stopped and prevent, you know, the counterattack, which was obviously on. And then you see the replay from behind. Pulisic is never looking in that direction. He's just watching the ball the whole time. So he genuinely didn't see it. And then the other thing is, if you want play to stop for an injured player, kick the ball out. Like, you know, he just didn't want to lose possession, which I understand, but you got to understand your player's faking it and you know it, you know, like
probably so a little time wasting in there as well.
Yeah, probably. Just kick the ball out. That's how you stop the play. Like if it's something you're really that concerned about, kick the ball out. You know, you see it time and time again. If someone's hurt, you kick the ball out. He didn't kick the ball. He wanted everyone else to just stop for him. Like, that's not how this works. If you you know, he's played this sport a while at a professional level. You play till the whistle. Everyone knows that. Lissett got around him, made a really nice move, and then he was horse collared, and that's illegal. So thrown down, red card. I don't know what he was complaining about. You know, it was obvious. Like, you can't retaliate like that under any circumstance, whether there's an injured player or not, you know, because if there is an injured player, you're still getting a card for that. That's not how you behave. If there's an injured player, you just stand there and say, hey, he's injured. You point down, and then if the ref's like, oh, shit, he is injured, he's going to stop the play. So, yeah, at the end of the day, you can't do that under any circumstances, whether there's an injury, there's not an injury, the whistle's been blown or not. It doesn't matter. You never can grab someone by the collar and rip them to the ground. So,
pretty much in any sport. Like
in any sport, yeah.
Hockey, I'm assuming it is too. You know.
The thing is as well, like the anger can only really be directed in two areas, and neither of them are towards Pulisic for me. Firstly,
no, if you're happy with what he did.
He did the only thing that he could do, really. If you're a Lazio fan, you're probably angry with the referee for not stopping the game for a head injury, but also the referee, you know, it's at their discretion if they deem it to be a legitimate head injury or not. And as AJ kind of mentioned, he clearly thought that it wasn't worthy of stopping the game. And then you should be angry at Pellegrini because you either commit to not playing, so you let Pulisic take the ball off you and run through, but then everyone stopped playing, so Pulisic probably then wouldn't go on and score, you know, because nobody's bothered about tackling him or anything. Or, you know, you put the ball out. You've got to commit one way or the other. You can't just expect everything to stop and for the ball to run out. And very, very little sympathy from me. It was also highlighted after the game that Lazio scored a goal against Inter at one point when I think it was 2021-22 season when Di Marco was on the ground and basically the Inter players just stopped playing entirely and Lazio carried on and Felipe Anderson went on to score the goal that put them 2-1 up and they ended up winning that game 3-1. So they went on and scored a goal while the Inter players just stood around like, what are you doing? Our guy's down. It would be hypocrisy for them to then have a go at us for playing until the whistle.
In sports, you just don't stop. There was a Floyd Mayweather fight like 8 years ago where...
Oh, don't make me feel they, old. God.
I forgot who it was.
It was longer. It was 2011.
And like they went to go touch gloves or something, and the guy dropped his hand, and Floyd just popped him right in the face. Like,
I mean, that paints him a lot worse than it was. Like, but yeah, so there was a... did the clinch or whatever. The thing is, like,
don't stop in the middle of
right. The game. Well, they did the clinch, and the ref, you know, did the, like, okay, continue fighting. And for whatever reason, the guy wanted to touch gloves in the middle of the round, and Floyd was like, nah, and just dropped it.
Yeah.
The guy was looking great before that, by the way. I was real pissed off.
I didn't want Floyd to win either. But still, the point still stands. You know, you can't stop in the middle of a game, in any game, you know? Like, you don't get free breaks. And knowing that Lazio did this exact thing and scored a goal against Inter is awesome. But also, it's like, really? Come on, guys. So
this is like the story of sports fans, though. We all bitch about against us. But we do it against other teams.
100%,
well, I actually always throw a bitch fit when we kick the ball for another injured player if we're not winning. Because I'm like, come on, guys. I don't give a fuck about that.
Like, it brings into question, though, as well, like the whole unwritten rules side of football and like the spirit of the game and being sportsmanlike and stuff like that. You know, it isn't written anywhere that if there's a player down, you have to kick the ball out. But it's almost just like this commonly accepted thing that you do it to. And in this case, it was so different to a normal situation that, it went the way that it did. And the outpouring of vitriol afterwards from some Lazio fans. I mean, Pulisic got death threats for just playing on and playing to the whistle. I mean, how can it really get that bad? You know, I'm not saying that you should be abusing your own player or anything like that, but I think that the blame lies 0% with Pulisic and what he did. And if you're going to blame anybody for it, then it's got to be either the referee for not stopping the game or Pellegrini for either committing to not playing the ball or kicking the ball out. they messed up that 5 second sequence really badly, and I think that's
the reaction from everyone is being blown way out of proportion. Like, chill, your player or someone down by the collar. Like, what do you think is going to happen? If that was an off the ball play, like, you know, he would have still gotten a red card.
Regardless. Especially less than 10 minutes after getting your first yellow. Like,
yeah, like,
it's already fresh in the ref's head. Like, okay, you know, you don't get a chance to do that.
Oh, he shouldn't have taken the ball. You can tear him down by his collar.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a safe thing to do.
Yeah.
No. I do wonder what would have happened if it had just been like a normal drag back, as if to say, no, stop. Like, there's a, but the fact that he, as you guys say, horse collared him. That made it look so much worse. Like, you just completely lost all perception of what was going on in that moment. And I don't know if he feels happy with what he's done, Pellegrini. I doubt it. Like, if he had it back, would he do it differently? But yeah,
probably not.
The whole thing.
He probably would. He'd do.
His Instagram post, he made a very sarcastic apology. He's like, "I'm sorry, I stuck up for my injured teammate." Blah blah blah, like all this stuff. And then Ciro Immobile like joined in the comments. Both fucking very, very sour strange. Losers.
Yeah, it's the cult of victimhood thing again, isn't it? And look, we also can't.
The Milan players did the same thing to Pulisic. What the fuck just happened to my screen? There we go. My computer just decided to go to sleep because apparently I'm not doing anything.
You should volunteer.
The Milan. My computer sees corporate America work. Volunteering. What is that? Like, Teo and Adley both commented on Pulisic's post. Teo was like police private security or something.
And I forgot
what Adley said, but they came to protect him, you know, so.
Yeah. I love it, too. It's good. It shows the unity of our team. You know, there was a lot of questions early on, like, is Pulisic an outsider because of the whole American bullshit? And he's not, you know, they're all coming to
I don't think players care about where you come from.
No, I mean, I don't think the players do, but like I saw that on Twitter.
Certainly, cultures might clash, like if you know
exactly that's more
Hakan and Mkhitaryan, you know,
yeah, they get along great. They
seem to be
banging
in goals pretty well together, to be honest. Yeah, and also we can't act like that was the game deciding incident either, because you know, it didn't result in a penalty. It wasn't a goal immediately afterwards. They still then had the ability to kind of reorganize. And sometimes an incident like that can galvanize you as a team. And I actually think that they defended pretty well, you know, up until the closing stages of the game, which brings us to the...
interesting because right after the red card, they brought on Immobile. And I was like, that's interesting, you know, losing a defender at a striker.
Yeah.
I mean, they also brought in, Hussai or whatever his name is, but it was just funny right after the red card. Like, the commentary only showed Immobile, and I was like, that's a bold move. But before the next red card, Liao did score a great goal that was ruled offside, just barely.
Mm.
You know, when they showed the semi-automatic, I was like, I was prepared to say robbery at the end of the game if we didn't get the win just because of it. You know, it was so close, but they were off. Oh, well.
It was close. It was close. It was one of those where the defender's stepping up and obviously Liao's running in behind. It was a lovely through ball from Reinders. I think it probably would have been an own goal. It seems to deflect quite a lot off the defender and then wrong foots Provedel and goes in. But you think, you start looking at the replays after the decision's been made and you're thinking, it must have been marginal. Like, you can see it from the line of where the pitch is. But I think he is off. It's his knee. You can see it. Sometimes that's where the semi-auto doesn't help as well, because it shows it in a very two-dimensional way. So, like, he's the other side of the defender, obviously. So you're kind of looking for the bit that's jutting out to see where he is, which bit of him was offside, basically, and then you sort of see that it's his knee, and unfortunately, I mean, I can't criticise him and say, hold your run better. I can't really criticise Reinders and say, you've got to play that ball a little bit earlier, because the way it was executed was perfect, and it was like 2 inches away from being a lovely goal. But we then had to wait until the final 3 minutes to make the breakthrough, and it was Super Noah off the bench again.
And that was an exciting goal because he took a great shot, saved, deflected to Giroud, took a shot, saved, deflected back to Okafor, took a shot, still saved, but then bounced in through a weak hand. Part of me wishes it wasn't because Pulisic was right there about to get the tap in on the rebound. But, you know, how many more goals does he need for me to win the bet? Not either two or one? Plan?
I have no, I'm just expecting to pay you at the end of the.
Yeah. He's past the 15, but he's not at the 10 goals yet. So
I think he's at nine.
So he's close, man. He's really close. I think seven sounds right.
It's coming. Seven. It's a matter of time. It needs to be a season-ending injury if it's not going to happen.
What are you doing, man?
No, but by saying it, that means it's not going to happen, right?
We have a lot of tournaments this summer that he needs to show up in, or not, so the coach gets fired. So, you know, I'm cool with both.
I guess the goal is a lesson in... Well, first of all, positioning, because I think... This is the thing that I've noticed about Okafor and the goals that he's scored so far. They seem to be a really, really similar way each time. Leao, run down the left of the byline, cut back, and then he usually fires it in at the near post or whatever. But he, instead of perhaps doing a run that Giroud would do to like 6 yards out, middle of the goal, he sort of drops off a little bit and comes near post and, yeah, you know, takes the swing at it, then it falls to Giroud. And I think it's a lesson as well in like just not giving up and thinking that your chance has gone, because you do see it sometimes where Giroud fluffs his lines on an opportunity or other players do and the head drops and the hands go and Okafor's like straight away switch back on. I can get this rebound and also a lesson in hit it as hard as you can. And, you know, Provedel gets his hand to it. It's nearly a miraculous save because he's going the other way across goal, but it just about trickles over the line. I was waiting to see if there was something that was going to be called on this, because the Lazio players surrounded the referee again. I don't even know what for.
They surrounded. I didn't.
I think they were saying there was a foul in the build up,
or something. Yeah, and there wasn't. You know, they showed it the entire build up, and there was no problem with it. There was nobody stood in an offside position either. So once all the replays had happened, it's like, right, we can celebrate because they're probably not going to get back into the game. And then came the collective head loss. Everything just fucking fell apart for them, didn't it? Like, you go from thinking, all right, well, look, we were a man down, we've lost to a team that's, I think we're now, are we now 16 or 18 points above them in the table? You know, it's like just that. A bad night at the office. Another loss for Lazio against a team above them. But the damage then came afterwards when they ended the game actually with eight men. First of all, Adam Marasic committed a foul and then decided to say something obviously very offensive to the ref. The ref had absolutely no hesitation brandishing the red.
The foul was light, not even yellow card worthy. You know, he just was kind of standing there and Leao went to head it and he just like landed on his shoulder, pushed him off. We see it. No one ever gets carded for that. It's just like one of the things you call because you're supposed to. So I don't know what he was mad about, to be honest. I mean, that's a normal thing to get called for. You didn't get a card. You just, it was just a whistle blow. Stop the play. It is what it is. I mean, at this point, it was the 95th minute and there was six added. So it's not like what were they going to do in that amount of time anyways? It's not like they stopped the counter. If anything, we were going to continue with the ball.
Yeah.
So childish, immature, unsporting-like, if you will, from him to then go at the ref. And props to the ref just saying, you know what, fuck you, here's this, you know?
Well, it makes me wonder what he said, because we know Rebic got a straight red card for saying something about the referee's sister or mother or something like that. But he you know... I mean, did he say it in Italian or Serbian? I can't even remember.
Who was the referee?
Croatian, sorry. Did he say it in Croatian? I can't remember. I guess there are certain things. So I guess that you can, in an expletive way, disagree with a referee's decision, you know, by saying, oh, that's fucking bullshit or whatever. But there are certain things that overstep the mark, such as going after a referee's family member. Or there's some weird thing about blasphemy as well. Like, I don't think you're allowed to say stuff like that. But one thing I will say is Marasic didn't have any complaints. He just sort of marched off. So I think he knew he'd said something. And that's where I think, as a Lazio fan, or if you're Maurizio Sarri or Lotito, who decided to do an interview after the game, that's always a a wise move as the club president to get in front of the cameras after a game like that and scream corruption. But yeah, I think that's where you get angry, you know, because you can get out of the game with 0 points but limited damage. And then when the players' heads started going, then we come to the Guendouzi one, or Guendouzi. That had been bubbling for a while. He was getting more and more angry with what was going on. And Pulisic, top shithousery. I'll let you take this away since he's your boy.
Was that for me or Madison?
Yeah, either of you.
Okay.
I turned the game off after like the 90th minute.
As you do at 1-0 up. Yeah, you were confident.
We went out to dinner, man. Like, what were they going to do?
Okay.
Watch the last 5 minutes.
It was dragging on at this point. Though. It was dragging on, like 98th.
Yeah. There was a 15-minute delay for a red card when Pulisic got torn down. So, you know.
Fair enough. Well, there was only 2 minutes left in the game at this point. So what happened was Guendouzi had the ball. He was not quite on a break, but definitely could have been. I don't know if Teo was in position or not where he was, but Pulisic felt it was the best move to take the tactical foul inside his own half. Inside the Lazio half. So, like, there's plenty of room for someone to catch up and get Guendouzi with the ball. But so he just grabbed him by the arm, held him. It's a clear yellow card. It's the 18th of Pulisic's career. You know, you could definitely mention how sporting he is for the fact that he averages one every 21 games as opposed to, oh, I don't know, say Guendouzi, who's got about 40 in half the games. I don't know. I made that stat up.
Totally made up stat.
Yeah. The stat about Pulisic is correct, but not Guendouzi. So, yeah, he pulls him, and then you see the expression on Guendouzi's face totally shift from, like, trying to get through to just, like, pure anger. And again, shoves him down, like, straight down from the back. And Pulisic knew what he was doing. Let's be real, you know? You're doing that to draw a card. You know this team's already hot. They're on two reds. You know you're trying to get something pulled. And it worked. Another straight red card. And deserved, because it was clear retaliation and nothing else. Those are the cards you get. So straight red again, down three, and then it all kicked off. Everyone got on the pitch and started doing a little fight. I'm surprised no one else was sent off, to be honest. I know Liao got a yellow card, I believe, in the Marisic thing. And so he's suspended for Empoli.
Yeah.
I'm surprised no one else got in trouble on our side at full time. You know, because then both teams came together and clashed, and there was a headbutt incident, an elbow to the back of the head that neither were seen by the referee from the Lazio players. So I wouldn't be surprised if afterwards, you know, one of the Milan players did something too. And that's what I always hate. Like, in a game like this, you know the other team's going to rush the field to try and get in your face. You got the 3 points. Just go down the tunnel. You know, just leave.
Yeah.
But men, testosterone, they all were like, let's fight. And so they all got in their little scuffle, and glad we didn't get carded for that.
Yeah. It really, do you know what? It was still out of control. Like, you should never see all 22 play. Well, there was less than that at that point, but like, the bench is emptied. Basically, it was like a bench clearing brawl. Everybody out on the pitch in the center circle going at it. It could have got worse than that. Like, we've seen this fixture in the past when Mek says he's grabbing Lulic by the neck and stuff like that. It has been historically a fixture with a fair bit of bad blood. And yet still, you know, we did sort of drop to their level a little bit with it by just getting involved. However, we don't know what was said to who. We don't know who instigated what. Like, you're going to stick up for your teammates in that situation if something bad is about to happen to one of them. For example, Romagnoli at full time was screaming scandalous or scandal, scandalous, whatever. Towards the Lazio curva at the end of the game, and then the picture comes out afterwards of him at full time grabbing Chao by the neck. He was already in a yellow card at that point, so there should have been another red card. It's very, very simple. You know, Lazio are actually fortunate that they haven't. Well,
captain of our team.
Yeah, I know.
But he was always a Lazio fan, so
heat of the battle, and
I
all
will
that.
Say that, you know, playing in the CONCACAF, Pulisic knows shithousery, and he knows how to do it. So,
Not the first red card.
It's good to see that from us, because I feel like we're normally on the other end of it. Mm-hmm. You know, the people might call it the dark arts or whatever, but like just being a wind up merchant basically, and
it's great
and letting the other team
the game up so well.
Yeah, let the other team make the mistakes.
More than 1-0.
Yeah, you know yeah. What I mean? Ideally, we'd have played better, a man up.
Yes,
and it's usually Teo doing it too. But lately, yeah. Teo's been the one getting in trouble for it. So I'm glad he's kind of cooled off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember Teo's battle against Romero in that Spurs game, and obviously the Dumfries, and yeah. But no, it was good. Look, we got out there with 3 points, as you said. The performance
did predict a clean sheet.
I did not. I did not back us to keep a clean sheet at all. And I was a bit surprised with the team that Lazio picked. And I was a bit, I just think that the game itself was not a very good spectacle. And it was all about, you know, everything that happened in the final stages of the game. But you take that, we end a 3-game winless run. We also, because Bologna and Atalanta played each other, we pad the gap a little bit as well inside the Champions League places. And then Juve lost as well away against Napoli. So therefore, we are certainly back in the hunt for second spot. You take it. Good trip to the capital. Top and flop. Top for me. Okafor came off the bench, looked very, very lively, and got the winning goal.
Yeah, that's a good pick. Yep, I'm going to go with my boy Pistol Puley, drawing those red cards, dropping them.
God, pistol, gosh. Throw and, a gun in there. That's always good.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, Pulisic doing the thing.
Flop. Another one where I don't think there was any player in particular that had a disaster class or anything like that. There were quite a few quiet performances or I'd say frustrating performances. I thought Kier looked shaky at the back, especially a couple of times when the ball came in the first half and he didn't deal with it very well. I thought the most frustrating player, or the player that when he got on the ball and I was getting the most pissed off with what he was doing, was probably Adli. And it was a shame to see that because he'd done so well against Atalanta. But there were times in that first half where he was just like dribbling to some dangerous areas and losing the ball. So it's between him and Kier. I'm going to give it to Adli.
This is a tough one because I don't really think anyone was too terrible. Florenzi made a lot of stupid decisions, especially early on. Obviously, he only played like an hour. But the incident in the beginning with Mike left a bad taste in my mouth pretty fast. Loftus-Cheek, I feel like he just couldn't complete a pass to save his life. And I don't know if the stats will back that up or not. I didn't really check. You good, dog? I don't know if you guys could hear that, but he's like...
I see Chuck style.
Yeah. Tomori came back. You should probably mention that.
Oh, yes. Yes, he did. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome back, Tomori.
We made 2 centre-back subs. That was an interesting thing. And I think a lot of us were like, wow, that's what you're really going to use the last 2 subs to do. But I actually kind of... First of all, we haven't got Jovic to throw on. We know Chukwueze tends to struggle in general. To be honest, this season he's just not been very good. But I think it was obvious why he did it in hindsight, and he deserves praise for those subs because it allowed us to play a much higher line and it allowed us to commit that extra body or two forward because we then had the recovery pace at the back. So I think they were good subs, and they're better on the ball than they...
It just goes to show like what we've been missing since... They all went down hurt. You know, we had a fast, athletic back line that, like I've been saying for months, it feels like 3 of our 4 starting back line are third string players, you know, 3rd or 4th in the case of the center back. So nice to see Tomori back. He didn't look like he missed a step. Granted, he only played 30 minutes against 8 men. So, you know, not quite the same as a full match, but we'll see how he gets on. As for my flop, I guess I'm going to go with Florenzi.
You know, I was going through the stats here. No starting player got less than 80% pass accuracy the entire game, which is phenomenal. And Gabbia had 95% pass accuracy, the highest on the team, which was great. I don't have a flop of the match. Everyone had a pretty decent game. So I'll go Gabbia as my support for best person. Hold down the defense.
And, I guess
I have a positive outlook here, not a, you know.
I'm good.
Picking 2
negative assholes.
Yeah, yeah.
We just follow the structure, you know.
Rules out the window. I guess the flop of the match is Lazio's discipline, really. You know, like that.
That's the top for me, actually.
Yeah, that's probably the top for us. And Whatever, get out there. We won. Happy days. We continue to dog walk Lazio nearly every opportunity. Happy days. We move on. Europa League preview.
Ah, did I not?
This I think it's a different is awful.
There we go.
There it is. Slavia Prague in the last 16 first leg. We did a bit of an opposition analysis on them on the bonus podcast. So go and watch that if you haven't already for a little bit of a look at their stats and whatnot. They are second in the league table. They remain 4 points behind their city rivals, Sparta Prague, who they actually played yesterday. And they really needed to win that in order to, you know, close the gap and try and get back into the title race. I suppose they're not entirely out of it. But yeah, Sparta went down to 10 men in the closing stages, but they didn't manage to get the win. They also have played them recently. They played them the game before in the Cup quarterfinal and lost 3-2. And Sparta again had a red card in that game. So they've played their city rivals two games in a row and not got the result that they wanted. So maybe they're coming into it with a little bit of damaged confidence, but we will see. And I guess
for like a point to prove,
maybe that. But I just don't get the feeling that they rotated for that game yesterday. You know, I feel like they probably went for that one. And they've got us, and then they've got Teplice in between first and second leg, and then Liberec after that. So I suppose that they can, you know, they can focus a bit more on this tie and doing the best they can. But I'm more optimistic about this one, or should I say I'm more confident about this one than I was the Stade Rennais game, just because I think standard of opposition and stuff like that. But I don't think Slavia are going to be an absolute walkover, and this is where AJ comes in and says, yeah, we're going to beat them 5-0 on aggregate or something. But the objective for us has to be to repeat that first leg against Rennes, you know, like 3-0, something like that, and just make it an easy job in the second leg.
Yeah, unfortunately, we play the first leg at home, and I feel like that's always a double-edged sword for us. You know, looking at Stade Rennais, we do well in the first leg, and then we think we're through already after a beat down. So then the second leg is away. They have to push. They got their home fans, and then it gets a little cagey. So I think this game's going to be fairly simple. I think we'll probably do a job on them. Like you said, they just played their biggest rivals two games in a row, so they might be pretty exhausted, pretty spent because they didn't get a win. And mentally, that probably means they lost the league. You know, I don't
went to extra time as well to the cup game, I've just realized. So even more minutes in the legs.
They're pretty tired. Leal's going to start this game because he's suspended for Empoli, so there's no reason to rest him. I would imagine we field a pretty strong side for this one because it sounds like Pioli understands this is his only opportunity to get a trophy this season, so probably going to take it pretty serious.
In his opportunity to keep his job.
Might be needed.
No, I don't even think that matters, to be honest.
I don't think it will help him keep his job. But
you think if we win the
outlook here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. What about if
you're going to predict your 5-0 aggregate score?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
You literally went online or went with everything AJ or Oliver predicted except for that. So
yeah, we'll do it.
5-0 aggregate.
Sure.
You don't think they score a goal, no?
Nah.
it's gonna be way harder than we're expecting.
It always is.
Yeah.
From a country that we have not played a team from in I don't know how long, right? Mm. We're gonna fuck up somewhere.
I've talked to one person from that country in my lifetime, you know.
Who?
Nikita.
He's not from there, he's Russian.
Yeah, but he's lived there longer than he lived in Russia.
I don't think he claims to be from everywhere he's been.
Look, if Lorenzo's like, got to be English and not Italian, then Nikita can't be Russian.
Yeah, all right, yeah. He was one of them who's like Slavia are better than people will give him credit for, but we should still win. Which, yeah, I think that's probably the perfect way to summarize it. Like,
yeah,
they have got some dangerous players. Again, we talked about it in the bonus pod, so go watch that if you want a bit more of a deep dive on them. What are we doing with the team for this? I mean, as you kind of mentioned, Liao suspended for the Empoli game, so I'm guessing he's going to start on the left. But given Jovic has now served his ban and could come back against Empoli, he's starting Giroud. So you've got Giroud, Liao together, and then you play Jovic in, you know, the Empoli game. Is Chukwueze getting getting a game, changing the midfield, because Reinders has obviously started the last three matches on the bench. Does Tomori come back into the starting lineup? Like, there are a few question marks about this one.
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be Liao, Giroud, Chukwueze up top. Pulisic's probably earned a rest at this point, you know. A lot of fighting, so you need some time off. I think Reinders probably does get a start again. It's nice that he hasn't had to start. Not because he's bad or anything like that. It's just it's nice that you have confident, competent backups that can start. And, yeah, you could argue we don't know who our best midfield is at this point in the season. You know, Adley's in the top percentile for most midfield stats. Benacer is Benacer. Reinders has been solid. Loftus-Cheek is, you know, his only downside seems to be passing lately. So our midfield's really strong at the moment. Who knows how we're going to field it. And I think we probably do see Tomori start the game or come on at halftime, one or the other. I bet he gets half a game. You know, he played more than half. He played like 30 minutes, right?
I think it was a little bit less.
A little less, okay. Well, 30 minutes, including stoppage time because of all that bullshit, but yeah.
Yeah, so he'll probably get a bit more than that then, you know?
I think Tomori starts.
He came on in the 81st.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Later than I thought. That'll be a start, I think.
Yeah. Also, we ought to say, Reinders just jogged my memory. The reason that he didn't start the game against Lazio, purely said, is because that he hadn't trained the day before the game because him and his wife Marina have welcomed their first child. So
congratulations.
Congrats to them. Called it Javien. So yeah, congratulations to the Reinders clan. And I think
sleep now.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, Tijani,
because there's no excuse for yawning. Trust me. I know.
Oh, the comments
he's
will let
be
you know
yawning
as well.
Mid-game. People are going to be pissed.
What's the dude yawning out there for?
Oh, they're professional footballers. They can afford a decent nanny, you know. I think it'll be fine.
Sleeping in a different room.
Yeah. So, yeah. I
guarantee you he's sleeping in a different room.
Yeah.
I meant from his wife, too. Like, just like...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Different wing of the house.
I'm in agreement. Chuck Giroud and Liao for this, and I think you play Reinders and Musa in midfield. They seem to do okay. In the first leg against Ren, and then I think Calabria's going to be fit enough to start now. I think he's just had a couple of like games to ease himself back into it, and this is a good game I think as well for Tomori and Chow to start building that chemistry back up as our starting centre back pairing. Again, that's no disrespect to Slavia, who I think are going to be a more dangerous opponent than some will give us credit for, AJ. But I think, yeah, you give them a start in that kind of game rather than, you know, waiting for a big fixture to come up. Then we literally don't have anyone to replace Teo, do we? So he's going to have to play again. And I suppose there's some doubts about the 10 position because I still think Loftus-Cheek could do with a rest. So you could perhaps make an argument for playing Adley further forward. Not sure about that. Maybe Reinders plays further forward and you play Benacer, Musa, something like that. But yeah, it might be time for RLC to have a bit of a rest shift. Or will he rotate heavily against Empoli? And this is going to be the game that we're going all in for. We'll see. Prediction for the first leg then. No, you've gone 5-0 on aggregate, but I'll say we win this one 2-0.
I'll go 3-0.
It's 3-1.
Yeah, and... That's it, then. We'll move on. Empoli preview. Tough. Oh, yeah. There we go.
We're going to lose this game.
Oh, right. Okay. That's a good start.
Starting with predictions. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Tough to know, innit, with team news and stuff. This always happens when there's a game in between. But as I say, my gut feeling is actually probably that we play a pretty strong team for the Slavia game just to make sure that we get the job as close to done in the first leg as possible. And then, look, Empoli this season have been a bit all over the place. They lost at home against Cagliari in their last game. I had them down to be relegated, and they've actually put some results together recently to climb out of the bottom three, but they're still only 2 points off the bottom three. So we've got a very interesting run in. Also, anyone from Lecce down in 13th are in the relegation race, really. Like, Genoa are 8 points above the team below them in the table. You know, that it's not very compact in the middle part. It's all at the bottom end. Like, Sassuolo might finally go down. Any thoughts on that?
Bidet is throwing a relegation party for them.
Yeah. I am. Yeah, I mean, Empoli sucks, but they've also beaten a few teams, you know, that are worth noting. Like, they beat Napoli earlier in the season. They drew with Juventus. They mollywopped Monza, something we failed to do. So there's that. But overall, they're kind of a shitty team. They also lost us 3-0 in January. So hopefully we could repeat. Yeah, I don't have much else to say about it. I mean,
Sunday, I think there's some big games this weekend, right?
Yeah, Inter play
Atalanta.
Is that what it is?
Right.
Yeah.
Inter Bologna and Juve. And Juve plays Sunday as well.
Juve play Atalanta.
Okay. And so Inter play Bologna.
Inter play Napoli.
No.
Who the fuck does Bologna play?
So we've got Bologna Inter.
I'm 13.
Juventus Atalanta, Fiorentina Roma.
Okay.
Napoli Torino, which is, you know.
Yeah,
that, not that we care about mid-table
clash.
Yeah.
Not a big deal. Given the clashes at the top of the table, Inter are gonna drop points, Juve are gonna drop points, Milan are gonna drop points. Hear me out. It's gonna happen.
Do you think so? You think we're not gonna jump to second this week?
No.
Okay. I don't know. Well,
who, if wait, we have who the opportunity to do it, play? We're not gonna do it.
Atalanta. At home as well. Juventus Atalanta.
Never know.
Yeah, I mean, Atalanta lost at home to Bologna yesterday, so they'll no doubt be fired up. Empoli have had three managers this season. I was just looking at that. They had Paolo Zanetti, then Andrea Zoli came back, and they've had Davide Nicola since, and he's the one who's really turned it around. Like, as I said, they were bottom at one point. They're bottom after six games, and they're the highest that they've been currently. And I still think we win.
Yeah, I wonder who reaches their fourth coach of the season first, Empoli or Napoli. Something about those pollies.
Oh, I actually think Napoli are playing probably the best they've played under this guy. And he was like, assistant coach.
Slaughtered ass Wolo.
Oh, that was a bloodbath. That was a really, really, that was a messy game for Sassuolo. Predictions for this one. I am going to say we 2-0 for the last game. No, I think we make this one difficult. I think we rotate again, and it never tends to go well when we make five or six changes, whatever. But I think we win it 2-1.
1-0.
1-1.
That's bleak. It is a Sunday 2:00 kickoff as well. That's my time. So for you, that'll be pretty early.
10 a.m. something like that.
Oh, finally, man.
Let's see.
At least you can just get it out of the way and then just get on with your day.
Yeah.
The worst part I got out of like Sunday afternoon kickoffs is like my son's waking up from a nap, and then I gotta start getting dinner ready. It's like we like play like a 10 a.m. game.
Yeah,
personal issues.
No, it's fine. Just
I've opted out of a funny, rude comment I was gonna make, but just leave it there.
Yeah, let's move on. Let's do a couple of questions just to round off then. And it will be a couple of questions. Don't worry.
Is it just thinking? What could it have been?
What?
All right, questions.
Question is okay. Oh, we didn't get any. I put the tweet out yesterday, and we literally didn't get a question. That's a shame.
Love our listeners. Right, very loyal.
I don't know what's happened there, to be honest. We normally get like 9.
It's because we haven't answered them in 3 weeks.
I know. Get more questions in, guys, please. I'll do one thing then. I put a tweet out yesterday just to sort of gauge opinion. It's a bit of one of those virally football Twittery type tweets. But this got good engagement. Who is Milan's? So there's 4 categories coming up. Most overrated player at the moment. We'll start with that.
Adley.
Yeah.
What?
Manian.
Adley? He's not even like rated.
I kind of
a lot
agree.
Of people think he's super high. And to be fair, the stats do back it up. I just every time I watch him, I don't feel it.
But he seems to be alternating.
Listen, he has literally proven. Pioli's like lineup picks wrong because he literally told him to leave, and now he's started a lot of games. So
he's worked hard, and like he's converted to a position that wasn't his, and like his skill set doesn't suggest to me that he should be a good deep lying player because he's slow and he can be a bit clumsy and that kind of thing. But you know, he's adapted, and he's certainly, I think he's sort of balanced good performances with bad ones, but the bad ones have never been absolutely horrendous, you know. Yeah,
here's this dude from Virginia calling him overrated. Disrespect, man.
I think he's a bit of hair jealousy. Because you know, he's got plenty of hair.
So maybe jealousy, for sure.
Sounds like a lot of upkeep.
Yeah, true, yeah. I wonder if he probably conditions like 4 or 5 times a week. Anyway, most underrated player.
Pulisic.
Most underrated?
Yeah.
Gabia.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to say Gabia as well. Do you know what? I'll feed you a little bit here. I think Musa as well. I really like that,
I don't want to be an American, so, you know.
Don't want to also, be an American.
Also, comment saying I said Gabia the correct way, and I think you're wrong in the comments, so. Thank you.
He says, no, I said it wrong.
I'm not saying it right.
How many different ways can there be of saying a two-syllable?
They said it. The Englishman off the podcast, Steph and Maddie are the only ones who said it right. And I was like, what?
Yeah. Why? You're supposed to say the double B.
Gabia? Gabia?
Yeah. Gabia. I don't know. I know you say the double B. That's it.
Yeah.
You're putting emphasis on the A, and that's wrong.
It's like the guy who had a pop repeatedly because I kept saying Hellas Verona instead of Hellas, and that was literally because I learned Spanish before bits of Italian. Yeah. So, like, because in Spanish, double L, it turns to a Y. So that was just pre-programmed into my brain, but don't worry, that's been corrected. Most overhated player.
Most what?
Most overhated player. Player gets too much shit.
It's got to be Pulisic for me, because at halftime of that game, I go into the chat and I just see slander of only Pulisic, and I was like, he's the only one who had a fucking shot on target in this game. So that's why I'm going.
Dude, the chat is always Pulisic and Musa slander, and it's only because of you and I. They try to get underneath our skin.
Right.
Well, I believe 2 minutes before he drew the red card, I called Pulisic a donkey in the chat. And then I turned to praise. I think majority of that is just performative to try and wind both up.
Nothing in the chat is real life.
It's not, thankfully. Overhated for me, Drew. I am... Giroud, okay, that's good. That's a solid pick. I'm going to say Calabria. I think there are still a lot of people who go after him personally for some reason. Like this,
AJ, you better pick Quilbega.
You know what I mean? He's died.
Do it.
I forgot he was on the team.
I think he actually
when has he last played?
He's the only one on the injury list right now.
Something like that, huh?
I've got one as well. It's a bit controversial. I think Terracciano. He got way too much hate. But like one, he was aimed mostly at you. He got a lot of hate for that one error, and I just hope that doesn't define his. I mean, look, he hasn't even really played. He's not played in the league since that, has he? But he's played a couple of spells off the bench in the Europa League. I hope that hasn't ruined things before they've even really started with us. But I saw some real vile shit about him after that. And the final one, who is the current best player in the Milan squad?
AJ, don't do a thing.
I think you've been able to 3 out of the 4 for you.
I sure have.
Yeah. I must say,
I think right now the most important player is Loftus-Cheek.
Wow.
He's good at holding the ball, and every once in a while, he scores a brace.
Okay.
That's a bold pick.
Take.
Of course.
Listen, man, you can't do anything without a midfield, right?
He is my countryman, so I'm going to
do anything with his midfield too.
That is true. Also, but you also can't pick Giroud. Jude agrees, by the way.
Yeah,
you can't pick Giroud because all he does is walk around and then pop a goal in every now.
Which is kind of RLC. No. I love Ruben. The correct answer to the question is Tomori. I know we've been without him for a while, but as I've said on this pod so many times, Milan as a team go as far as he takes us. When Tomori's on it, we've seen what we're capable of. We lost him. Defense has gone to shit. And I just think
we also lost our entire defense, but Kier.
But I think we can all agree Tomori's the best centre back that we have, you know. So yeah, I mean, 100%. Yeah, you could change it to Tomori and Chow, you know. But like injuries, I think we can all agree of what a majority derailed our season. And I think he was the most important injury. You know, we were doing all right up until he went out in that Salernitana game. And yeah, when he's on it, we look a completely different team, both in and out of possession. Obviously, there'll be shouts for Teo and Liao. I just think they've been a tad more inconsistent this season. So I'm going to say Fick. We'll wrap it up there.
Fick has been the most consistent.
Yeah, consistently injured. Yeah. Can't make mistakes if you're not there, you know. Yeah, thank you to everybody for watching. I've been your host, Ollie Fisher. Find me on Twitter at Ollie Fisher. AJ, cheers for joining.
Yep. See you guys next time.
Maddie.
Maybe I'll be on Friday if I get sleep.
Fingers crossed for Maddie's sleep. And yeah, we'll be back in a week's time.
Gol! Ancora Teo! È una meraviglia! Il gol di Teo Hernandez! Da un'ora all'altra! È una meraviglia! Senti il mio cuore!